Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon has begun signing bills into law. Thus far, he's endorsed 42 bills and allowed another three to become law without his signature as of Monday. Gordon's office pointed out three new laws in particular, one that creates an account to help small oil and gas producers pay for bonding, and another reduces the tax rate for mined coal so it matches oil and gas rates, and one aimed at addressing heavy caseloads in Wyoming's district and circuit courts that allows judges from the chancery or business court to hear cases. The three he allowed to become law without a signature are the Wyoming Gold Act, which requires the state to invest in gold. The Prime Act allows meat producers to sell uninspected homemade products. And one allowing homeowners to ask law enforcement for help in removing a squatter. None of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus's five and dime bills have yet been signed by Gordon. A bill that would make it easier for Wyomingites to qualify for property tax relief landed on Governor Mark Gordon's desk this week. It's one contender in a slate of bills aiming to address high property tax rates in some parts of the state. House Bill 39 would lower the maximum income level allowed for refunds to 145% of a county's median household income. The changes would affect a property tax relief program that the legislature created in 2023. Another property tax bill, Senate File 69, also made waves this week. It recently passed both the House and Senate, but was significantly amended by the House. A joint conference committee was appointed to resolve differences, but the committee's work quickly broke down when representatives on it blocked the bill from advancing, despite an earlier agreement with senators. The committee has not yet set a date for another meeting as of yesterday. Some Senate lawmakers tried one more time to save Wyoming's two-decade-long cloud seeding program, saying it's part of the answer to our region's drought. This effort comes just weeks after the House voted to defund it, many saying they're skeptical that it helps. But research shows cloud seeding can increase snowfall by 5 to 15%. An amendment to a water project bill would have brought the funding back.
After the summer that we had, it just feels like we ought to do everything we can.
Casper Senator Bill Landon spoke to fellow lawmakers in favor of the amendment.
This is the cost of less than one fire right here.
The amendment reiterated Wyoming's agreement with states downstream. They pay two-thirds of the bill, leaving Wyoming with a cost of about $300,000. But the amendment narrowly failed. The water project bill has one more step before it lands on the governor's desk. Native American tribes and conservation groups want to keep Yellowstone's new bison plan in place. The Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes are trying to join a lawsuit to defend the plan in court. It's being challenged by the state of Montana. Montana says it was not consulted as the plan was developed and wants it overturned. State officials also want to cut the herd size to 3,000 animals over concerns of bison transferring a reproductive disease called brucellosis to cattle. There is no evidence of Yellowstone bison transmitting to cattle. The plan adopted last summer would allow the herd to grow up to 6,000 animals, an increase over a 10-year average of about 5,000. The tribes and conservation groups say that reducing the herd size could mean fewer bison are rehomed to indigenous peoples' lands. The National Park Service has a deadline of March 3rd to reply to Montana's lawsuit. Last week, the University of Wyoming held a campus-wide discussion about the current legislative session. A panel of UW leadership responded to questions from students and faculty. It was part of the university's initiative to foster constructive dialogue that included a variety of viewpoints. Professor Matt Burgess coordinated the discussion. He says the panel was not trying to predict the future.
The role of the administration in this dialogue was not to take a position or to show their hand. It was just to inform. They're engaged in the discussions and following the legislative session at a level of detail that the average person on campus was not.
Attendees raised questions about a bill on concealed carry that's working its way through the legislature and how it would be implemented on campus if it becomes law. They also discussed whether federal and state diversity, equity, and inclusion regulations might change grants and instruction on campus. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Cheyenne teenager recently won a national boxing tournament. WyO Sports reports Aiden Osborne picked up 3 unanimous decision victories at the National Silver Gloves Tournament. He's now the country's top boxer in the 14 to 15-year-old 90-pound division. 2 Grey Bull high schoolers will have the chance to compete in an international competition soon. The Grey Bull Standard reports senior Granger Russell's research investigating the impact of kratom on the development of mouse brain cells was the 2025 Grand Champion Project at the Northern Wyoming Regional Science Fair. He will advance to the international competition. Russell received several other awards, too. Senior Gabriel Vanderploeg was also the recipient of multiple awards and the runner-up Grand Champion, which means he's the international competition alternative. A new piece of public art has been unveiled at Northwest College. The Powell Tribune reports Landform Journey is inspired by the topography of nearby Heart Mountain and the Bighorn Basin. It climbs up both sides of a fireplace in the Student Center. And according to Wallet Hub, Cheyenne is the 5th hardest working city in the country. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the Marlboro Man in advertisements featured in the 1950s and 60s? Send us your answers for all 5 of this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll crown winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people may find us.